Well, I say this often, especially at daily mass, but it's true. I mean, we have an embarrassment of riches here. There's so much to choose from. And on top of that, I'm actually going to start out with the office of the readings from today, with St. Ambrose. And he's reminding us of a fundamental truth that we as Catholics, indeed, all Christians, we don't fear death, or we shouldn't fear death, because Jesus Christ has won the victory. Death, for those of us who are faithful, is merely just a portal. It's just a passageway to eternal life with our Lord. Yet we live in a world that's deathly afraid of death, right? Because deathly afraid of death. I'm kind of being a little bit redundant there, but like terrified of death. And so do everything you can in life. It becomes all about me, 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 my bucket list, and I got to do this and I got to do that because I'm scared to die and I want to get the most out of this life. And you end up not getting nearly as much out of life as if you live it in and through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. But then you're terrified of death because you don't think there's anything after death. We're called to live the fullness of life now and then have eternal life with the Lord. Talk about having your cake and eat it too. That's what the Lord wants for us. Now listen to what Ambrose is saying. So this is, he's preaching at his brother's funeral here. St. Ambrose, the great St. Ambrose. He's the doctor of the church. He's the guy that baptized St. Augustine. His brother Satyrus. So he's talking about death in a number of different contexts. But I'll start out midway through. He says, death was not part of nature. It became part of nature. God did not decree death from the beginning. He prescribed it as a remedy. Human life was condemned because of sin to unremitting labor and unbearable sorrow, and so began to experience the burden of wretchedness. There had to be a limit to its evils. Death had to restore what life forfeited. Without the assistance of grace, immortality is more of a burden than a blessing. What he's trying to say is if we live on and on and on in the world as it is now, there's so much brokenness that we don't want it, right? We don't want to live eternally in this kind of a world because there's too much muck and mire and struggle and pain. So God prescribes death as a remedy. That's his answer to our sin. That's his answer. He takes death and he transforms death into life. Just a little bit above this, Ambrose says, what more should we say about death since we use this divine example to prove that it was death alone that won freedom from death, and death itself was our own redeemer? Death is then no cause for mourning, for it is the cause of mankind's salvation. Death is not something to be avoided, for the Son of God did not think it beneath his dignity, nor did he seek to escape it. His death is victory. His death is a sacred sign. Each year his death is celebrated with solemnity by the whole world. So that's the way we look at death. It's the way Jesus Christ looks at death, and he wants us to end, and you just turn into dust and that's it. There's nothing after death. But they are in peace. For if before men they are indeed punished, yet their hope is full of immortality. That's our Christian hope. That's why we can say these things like Ambrose is saying about death, because we hope in our Lord. We know that what he says is going to happen. It's going to come true. He's not just feeding us a line. It is true. And so their hope, our hope, is full of immortality, seeking what is above primarily, not what is below. Chastise a little, they shall be greatly blessed. For God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace, he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings, he took them to himself. Now, this is Old Testament, a couple hundred years before Christ, but we can't help but think of Jesus, right? He was tested, he was tried, and God took him as a sacrificial offering to himself. We are members of the body of Christ. We're called to follow in his footsteps. I'll skip to the end here. Those who trust in him shall understand truth. We'll see the world as it really is. And the faithful shall abide with him in love. Abide with him in the most intense embrace of love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones and his care is with his elect. We are these holy ones. We are his elect. Let us embrace it, brothers and sisters. Let us walk in this wonderful light. And now we'll take a look at the second reading. I actually forgot to move the marker here on for the second reading. I wanted a different one, but no rub on you. So there's one here. Paul's talking about baptism, and it mirrors the same. We hope does not disappoint. That was the first line that we got in what was proclaimed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hope does not disappoint because God continues to lavish His goodness upon us at every instance He can. He's lavishing His goodness upon us. And if we look, this is from chapter 6 of Romans. Paul says, are you unaware that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Thankfully, he doesn't stop there. This mirrors what Ambrose was saying. We were indeed buried with Him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too live in newness of life. He's not just talking about eternal life. He's talking about right now. Dying to ourselves and rising to new life every day. That's the rhythm of Christian life. It's a paschal rhythm, we could say, mirrored on our paschal lamb, dying on the cross, but rising to new life in the resurrection. For if we have grown into a union with Him through a death like His, dying to ourselves, he's talking about baptism, but then every day, dying to ourselves, rising to new life, we shall also be united with Him in the resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that our sinful body may be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. That terrible slavery to sin. We don't want to be there. The Lord doesn't want us to be there. Paul doesn't want us to be there. If then we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over Him. Death no longer has power over us either, brothers and sisters, if we walk with the Lord in and through His love, allowing Him to transform us, this paschal rhythm of life each day. We don't fear death. We look forward to it, like we hear Paul saying it time and time again in his letters. I'd rather be with Christ, but He wants me to be here. And so I'm going to stay here and do the good work that He's called me to do. We have no reason to fear death whatsoever. And we'll take a quick glance at the gospel here. This is from John chapter 6, of this beautiful passage. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me. We just have to come to Him, brothers and sisters. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. As a matter of fact, we can't be perfect. He leads us on this path to perfection all throughout life, and so we become more and more perfect the more we walk with Him. But He knows we're not perfect. He just wants us to say yes. He wants us to come to Him in all of our brokenness and all of our warts and everything. Bring it all to Him. Whether we're on top of the world or whether we're in the worst space we've ever been in, bring it to the Lord. Just come to Him. He's never going to reject you. That's exactly what He's saying here. Because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the One who sent me. He's all about this. Remember, surrender. I was preaching about this on Sunday for those of you that came to the Sunday Mass. He surrendered His own will to the Father's will. So He's doing this wonderful work of the Father. And that's why He came, so that we could come to Him, bring everything to Him, and then He transforms it into beautiful blessings, just like the cross was transformed from that. The cross was the most feared symbol in the whole world. Jesus takes that cross and transforms it into the ultimate sign of victory. That's what He wants to do day in and day out, brothers and sisters. And this is the will of the One who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what He gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. And so we need to see Him. We just had Eucharistic adoration. We're going to continue. We see the Lord also in the Mass. I'm going to hold up the consecrated host. I'm going to hold up Jesus here in a minute. We see Him in our brothers and sisters. We see Him all around us, day in and day out, not just in the church. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we see Him working all around us, yearning to draw us ever deeper into relationship with Him. So everyone who sees the Son and then believes in Him, this isn't just like a flippant, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I go and do whatever I want with my life. Believes in Him. When He says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. believes in him when he says, I will raise you on the last day if you follow with me, if you follow me. This is what the Lord wants for us, and this is what he wants for all souls, every single soul across all time. And so as we offer this Mass for the souls that are not yet with him in heaven, we do so remembering fondly all of our loved ones and the many, many billions of people that we don't even know. We enter into this body of Christ with them, yearning to help them somehow, some way, not just today, but all throughout November. Those of you that are on Flock Note have seen my note about the indulgences that we can win for souls in purgatory. Let us seek to do this. Let us seek to walk in this beautiful light of the Lord ever more completely each day, but also never lose sight of all of these souls that went before us. Some of them loved Jesus passionately, some of them didn't, but we, like Jesus, want them all to be in heaven. So let us offer ourselves like our Lord, who sought not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. And we can transform this community. We can transform this world. It just takes simple acts of love every single day. So brothers and sisters, let us just say yes. Let us come to our Lord and then let him do all the heavy lifting.